Hello, I'm Kate Chabot. Welcome to an extra edition of the SITREP podcast. The RAF and Royal Navy have been operating some of the world's most technologically advanced aircraft, the F-35s, for just a few years now. But work is already well underway for something far more high-tech, and it could be little more than a decade away. Tempest is the fighter jet at the heart of the UK's future combat air system, with suggested concepts including laser weapons, brain sensors for pilots, and virtual cockpit controls within helmets. 2 years ago, a timeline was set out to make these sci-fi visions into reality, not just for the UK, but allies Italy and Japan too. The first prototype should fly in around 3 years. So how is it shaping up? I've been talking to the man tasked with making it happen, Air Commodore Martin Lowe, Programme Director of the Future Combat Air System. Air Commodore Lowe, really good to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining us on SITREP. Now, the first work on Tempest started 9 years ago, development of concepts. 2 years ago, the government set deadlines to turn concepts into reality. How's it going?
It's going really well. The UK's Future Combat Air System programme, to give it its proper name, but I appreciate that Tempest is a phrase that has stuck. Started off as a national endeavour many years ago, as you said. It really picked up momentum in 2018 with the release of the Combat Air Strategy, and then more recently with some engagements with Italy and Japan, we launched the Global Combat Air programme in December 2022. The Global Combat Air programme is an agreement between those three nations, the UK, Italy, and Japan, to develop and introduce to service a core crewed combat aircraft to be at the centre of our future combat air system. And since December 2022, when the programme was announced by the three prime ministers, we've made tremendous progress. It's really quite remarkable, actually, just how quickly the three nations have come together and put a viable, dynamic, exciting programme in place.
So what can you tell the fighter pilots of the future about what kind of plane Tempest will be and what it will be able to do? What design decisions have been locked in?
So the first point I probably ought to make, of course, is that the Future Combat Air System and the Global Combat Air Programme aircraft at the centre of it is not just going to be about fighter pilots. So my answer is probably aimed at all aspects of the military, because this really will be a wide system of capabilities, not just pilots in crewed planes. There will be pilots in crewed aircraft at the centre of the future system. And the plane, UK, Italian, Japanese developed and built sovereign capability, complementing the F-35 aircraft that all three nations have also procured, will be a next generation, long range, highly survivable, highly networked capability, undertaking quite a range of military missions as part of a wider system that will also involve or include uncrewed systems. You will, we all see from the news the increasing use of uncrewed and uncrewed systems and artificial intelligence driven platforms in the modern battlefield. That trend will continue. So we will be developing those systems alongside pilots in fighter planes of the future.
So we've talked before on SITREP about some of the ambitious concepts, and you've alluded to some there, these laser-directed energy weapons, a software-reconfigurable cockpit within the pilot's helmet, sensors detecting the pilot's stress levels, almost reading their mind, as it were. What else has made the cut, and what's fallen by the wayside, and what still has to be decided?
So the process of designing any complex military capability, including a combat aircraft, it's a big endeavour. It takes a long time. The three nations have got remarkably close alignment on the requirements of this capability. I'm a little bit limited by classifications into how much detail I can go into, I'm afraid. But we can talk about a long-range, highly survivable next-generation platform with really quite impressive networking capabilities into other systems. And you're right to point out capabilities like software-driven activity and the ability to rapidly upgrade the capability through software, through artificial intelligence, through the increasing use of data, so that we can respond to threats of the future and have a platform that can evolve over time.
And the first deadline is for a demonstrator aircraft to be ready in 2027. What's in, well, that is in 3 years' time. Physically, do you know exactly what that will look like now?
The demonstrator is a UK-only project. It is intended to fly around the 2027 time period, and progress on that aircraft is well underway. The design is pretty well fixed now. It's proving a hugely valuable endeavour for the UK, and the benefits, the learning we are taking from developing and building that demonstrator are being learned in the Global Combat Air Programme. The engineers who've been working on it are moving over to work nationally with Italy and Japan to build the real thing in the long term. The experiences we're getting from the design, the development, the build, they're all being taken over into the main program. So a really, really brilliant UK demonstrator initiative that we hope to see airborne soon.
You say the design is fixed. Can you tell us what it looks like?
I'm afraid not. And perhaps we'll have to leave that to a big reveal at the appropriate moment. There are some sensitivities around the size and shape and the design of aircraft of this nature. So at this point, no. But I've seen the designs, as you might expect, and I'm hugely excited by them. It really is a brilliant thing, designed and developed in the UK, bringing a whole generation of engineers along that can then feed into the main platform.
That was going to be my consolation backup question, was whether or not you're impressed by it, but obviously you are. What's the job of that demonstrator aircraft exactly?
So it's a long time since the UK took the lead in designing and building a combat aircraft. We have a long, proud history in this nation of combat air industry and design, and we could talk for hours about some of the brilliant planes our predecessors have designed and built. But there's been a little bit of a gap since we last did it, probably with the Eurofighter Typhoon. And so part of the programme to work up towards building a next-generation combat aircraft through the Global Combat Air Programme has been to invest in the skills and the people and the resources to do it again. And the demonstrator is a way of relearning all those lessons, drawing a new generation of engineers who've not done this before, drawing them into the combat aircraft industry and learning through the development and production of the demonstrator how to do it again. In the process, we will develop a whole new generation of really brilliant UK-based engineers who will contribute to the main program and possibly wider activities in the wider economy too.
And what about the timeline for that demonstrator? Will it be ready for 2027?
That's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan we're working to. So we've got a huge team, mostly based at BAE Systems plant in Wharton. Lots and lots of energy, lots of graduate engineers and apprentices working on that program. So we are confident of those times. Yes.
And 7 years on from that, Tempest is supposed to go into service in 2035. How much of that is finishing the development and how much is build time?
Well, it's a bit of both. And of course, the two things are not necessarily sequential. There is a lot of parallel activity. In the long term, we plan to continually evolve the Global Combat Air Programme aircraft. We mentioned earlier about data and artificial intelligence and software, and those will be avenues by which we will keep upgrading the aircraft. So the design process never stops. It's part of the reason why we keep investing in research and development in combat air through the Team Tempest initiative. So we keep having new technologies to add to it. So over the next 7 years, there will be continued design, and at the right point, we will start production, but continue design in parallel.
And in that light, how similar or different do you expect the in-service Tempest to be to the demonstrator?
That's another question I can't answer in public, I'm afraid.
Is it work in progress? Is that why you can't answer? Is it just basically for security reasons?
It's security reasons. The nature of military capability like this, of course, is intended to deter our enemies, our adversaries, to provide a credible deterrent threat. And ultimately, if needed, to operate in a conflict situation. There are people out there in the wider world who'd be very, very interested in understanding in great detail some of the things we're doing. We're rather keen they don't find out. So there is, understandably, a level of classification on this program that prevents me going into too much detail, but I can reiterate that, the experiences and the activities we're doing through the demonstrator program are training up a new generation of engineers who are all moving into the main program, taking those lessons with them. And that includes aspects of the design, the things that have gone well and perhaps the things that might not have gone so well. We will transfer all those lessons into the main program.
And Tempest is just one part of what's called, as you said earlier, the Future Combat Air System. Can you just walk us through the other parts of that system?
The most obvious place to talk about is uncrewed systems. Technology has moved along at a rapid rate in recent years, and we've all seen in the news the great advances, particularly in artificial intelligence. Those technologies allow us to consider including uncrewed systems in a system of combat aircraft. There are many potential advantages to uncrewed systems, not least the fact that we don't put a pilot in harm's way. We don't think we're quite ready to have a fully uncrewed system yet. So we envisage the future system to be a mix of crewed piloted planes in the traditional sense and uncrewed systems alongside it. We will find the right balance of those things to have the necessary military effect.
So in that light then, those uncrewed systems, are they part of a concept that's that will be developed further after this particular, after 2035, or is that going to be something that is on the road to reality? It's going to become that you will be fully uncrewed in the future?
It's fair to say in the future, combat air systems will be fully uncrewed. Quite how far in the future is a debate we could probably spend hours talking about if we wanted. In the timeframes we're talking about for the UK's Future Combat Air System programme, and certainly for the Tri-National Global Combat Air programme with Italy and Japan, we still envisage that future having piloted planes supported by uncrewed systems. If we were to leap forward another generation or two later this century, maybe things are a little bit different, but not quite yet. And the development of all these concepts is happening right now, both in the UK and with our partners in Italy and Japan, so that we will develop the right mix of capabilities together.
And that collaboration with Italy and Japan, our big international partners on this, does it make the job easier or harder?
There are huge benefits to working collaboratively with other nations. Both Italy and Japan have themselves long histories of combat aircraft development. We have been in partnership with Italy in particular for decades, working on the Typhoon and Tornado aircraft. Their industries in both nations bring a bunch of skills and experience and capacity that complements ours. And so you put the three together and you get a much better output. Now, of course, there are challenges with international partnerships, and not least the distance between Italy and the UK and Japan. There are language barriers, there are cultural differences, but these things can be overcome through close joint working, and the distances can be overcome through modern communications and the ability to have video calls and transfer data electronically in a way that just wasn't possible for our predecessors. So on balance, I think an international partnership brings a lot more benefit than the disadvantages, and it's certainly in the Global Combat Air Programme proving to be a really powerful combination.
Of course, a big question is, what are other countries developing and how will Tempest stack up against them, particularly the next generation fighters of our rivals and enemies? Any idea?
Well, I sincerely hope we never, ever have to put that to the ultimate test. Our adversaries, potential state and non-state adversaries, are doing everything they can to develop next generation capabilities, and we keep a close watch as far as we can on what they're up to, as much as I'm sure they're doing the same for us. One of the aims of the Future Combat Air System, of the Global Combat Air Programme with Italy and Japan, is to keep ahead of them and to produce capabilities that will outmatch them and deter or provide a credible deterrence against the threat they pose. We're not the only people doing this. Of course, our American colleagues are on a similar journey, and there is a parallel programme in Europe led by France that is doing something similar. So we certainly amongst allied nations stay very close and talk to each other a lot to make sure we develop military capabilities of all types that will be up to the job in the long term.
How confident are you that all of this can be delivered on time and on budget?
Yeah, we are well aware that we are spending for investing public money, taxpayers' money, to develop military capabilities for ultimately for the defence of the nation. We take that responsibility extremely seriously, and part of that responsibility is making sure we get the value that we are after from that investment. And so as far as possible, we will do everything we can to avoid cost growth or time delays. Defence procurement, there are lots of examples, sadly, often publicised in the media about procurement programmes that don't go quite to plan. There are, of course, also lots of procurement programmes that go very well. They tend not to get in the media so much. One of the things we have done in the Future Combat Air System programme in the UK is a lot of analysis of what has gone not so well in previous programmes, and indeed those programmes that have gone well. We have a lot of experience from our involvement in the F-35 programme with America. We have a lot of experience in European collaborations on Typhoon and Tornado and A400. Amongst others, we're trying to take the best of all those things and avoid the pitfalls that some of those programs fell into, to work on a program that minimizes the chance of cost growth or time delays, and deliver the kind of military capability ultimately for the nation that we want.
And what is the advantage of developing Tempest ourselves rather than doing what we did with the F-35 and piggybacking off what the US is doing?
The main military capability advantage is that we produce a capability that we have sovereign control over. That means that should we need to, we will be able to upgrade and modify and operate the aircraft without any dependence on anybody else. It allows us to react more quickly to events in the future or to new threats. It allows us the freedom of operation, the freedom of action to use the capability in the way we want. There are much broader advantages, though, to developing a military capability like this in the UK, or indeed in partnership with Italy and Japan, and they are economic and industrial. The FCAS program already employs 3,500 people in the UK. Most of those are engineering jobs, highly skilled technical jobs, and there will be many more to come as the program ramps up. Those jobs, those apprentices, those graduates, they have huge long-term benefits for the wider UK economy. So there is a real national economic argument for an investment of this type, and the sustainment of the UK's combat aircraft industry that comes with it, again, with wide spillover benefits into other sectors. So there are military benefits to doing this on a national basis or in collaboration with Italy and Japan, and there are real national value benefits through industry and the economy.
And just finally, what excites you the most about Tempest and what it will be able to do?
So I've been an Air Force officer a long time, and I've worked on quite a number of RAF aircraft. I've also had perhaps the slightly unfortunate responsibility to be part of the retirement of quite a few of them. The Tornado and the Harrier and the C-130 Hercules, the TriStar, the VC-10, many of them really brilliant UK-led designs, really brilliant aircraft capabilities. With that background, to work on a programme that is right at the early phases, an ambitious, dynamic, challenging, but really quite brilliant international collaboration to build a next generation combat aircraft. To be at the beginning of that program, setting the tone and setting the direction is a really, really rewarding thing to be working on. The benefits I described earlier, the military capability benefits, the wider national benefits for the economy and for our combat aircraft industries. It's a real honour to be working on something that could be a really beneficial national endeavour. So that excites me. It's a really great programme. And the pace we are going at is energising in itself. This is not a programme that's stuck in bureaucracy, and it is moving very quickly. That in itself is exciting to me.
Air Commodore Martin Lowe, great to speak to you. Thank you so much for spending time with us on SITREP.
Thank you.
News, discussions and analysis. This is SITREP.